Welcome to Patched Atlas, exploring the systems behind modern technology.
Welcome to Patched Atlas. I am Probably FX, and I think I need to talk about chat control. Now, I don't know if you've been looking at LinkedIn over the past few days. Chat control has kind of blown up. Chat control is a measure in the European Parliament that will, to some extent, depending on the version, allow for the scanning of private messages for illegal materials. That's the most basic summary. Now, this control was in place, Chat Control 1.0 was in place up until April of this year, at which point it lapsed because the European community could not agree on a framework for it to go forward. That should have been the end of the story, but it wasn't. Earlier this week, an emergency measure was introduced at the European Parliament to extend Chat Control 1.0 until 2028, so to apply it for 2 more years. There are a few things wrong with this. Because this was the second reading, a majority was not required to reject it. A absolute majority was required. And what happened is the votes were counted. 314 voted against chat control and 276 voted for it. So despite the fact that a majority was achieved, it wasn't a large enough majority. So the rejection of this extension failed. And there's a lot of misinformation floating around about what that means. There's a lot of people now on LinkedIn saying the fear-mongering, oh, now everyone's going to have all of their messages scanned all the time by everyone, and privacy is dead, and democracy is dead, and everything's on fire, and everyone's going to die. And I think the actual reality of the situation is problematic enough that we shouldn't have to pour glitter on the dog turd of what's happening. This is... what people are doing is they're inciting panic, which is what they always do because it drives engagement. The reality of what's happening is different. So there are two realities I want to talk about. But actually, maybe first, let's talk about chat control and what it is. Chat control is broken down into two versions. The current one that's being extended is Chat Control 1.0. The one that would mean that encryption was broken and the world was on fire is Chat Control 2.0. So let's just throw that out instantly. We'll get to 2.0 in a minute. What Chat Control 1.0 means, it's a temporary reduction of e-privacy rights. Normally, e-privacy rules protect the confidentiality of communications. And Chat Control 1.0, every time I've recorded this so far, I've kept saying ChatGPT by accident, so let's see if I can avoid that now. Chat Control 1.0 creates an exception for this confidentiality of e-privacy, and it's kind of like a permission slip that lets providers scan where they choose to scan, and it doesn't order every provider to directly scan everything. It is not what it is being painted. It is not good. I will not say it is good. It is not a good thing that this is being continually forced. There are some, you know, democratic problems in the fact that a majority voted against this and it's still gone forward. Like, that is an erosion of democracy that the EU really can't afford to be seeing or being part of at this point in our world's history. We're seeing erosions of democracy all over the world, and the EU is at least attempting to be better than that. So that's a discussion I don't know that I want to get into. I don't want to turn this into politics. This is supposed to be technical discussions by a security nerd. So erosion of democracy, yes, that is occurring. But the reality of Chat Control 1.0 is... it's not forcing the scanning of anything. It is allowing the scanning of some things. And there is a very important nuance here, and that's the end-to-end encryption nuance. So there's an amended position in the European Parliament that says communications where end-to-end encryption is, has been, or will be applied should be excluded. So that immediately excludes platforms like Telegram, platforms like Signal. It doesn't exclude WhatsApp because I don't think WhatsApp is end-to-end encrypted by default. I think it can be, but I don't think it is by default. And if the council rejects this proposal that Chat Control 1.0 is extended, which it rightly should because it has been, it's undemocratic that it's even moving forward, then it will move the fight to some kind of conciliation. The bigger danger of things is the permanent Chat Control 2.0, which this is a stepping stone to. So while there are a lot of people, they're kind of fear-mongering, but they're fear-mongering for a good cause. They don't want Chat Control 2 to drop, because if Chat Control 2 drops, then everything they're claiming is happening now actually happens. So, yeah, democratic problem, erosion of democracy. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Chat Control 2 and the technical problem, because what they're asking is essentially to break encryption. And that is, if you encrypt your message, the only person who should be able to read it is the recipient. That's the core tenet of encryption. What Chat Control 2.0 would force is only the recipient and the provider of the messaging platform should be able to read it. This removes the purpose of end-to-end encryption on messaging. And the thing that security professionals are worried about is that a scanner isn't a policy. What they're wanting is a scanner inside your device that will read your messages. And that is not a policy. That is a capability. And a capability, once it exists, is subject to a target list. And that target list becomes political. So the first iteration is designed to stop the sharing of child sexual abuse materials, which is a noble goal that no one will argue with. But a second iteration might be to stop terrorism, which then becomes a noble goal no one will argue with. And then extremism, which is more difficult to argue with. And then harmful misinformation, and then copyright, and then political dissent, and it just becomes a slippery slope until whatever the next minister calls dangerous is made illegal to even discuss. And I honestly don't understand why 1984 is not required reading to become any kind of political entity. I don't understand why it's being used as an instruction book. Now, the thing about this is it always starts the same. It always starts with emotional manipulation. It always starts with, oh, won't someone think of the children? And then, oh, won't someone think of the victims of terrorism? And then, oh, won't someone think of the victims of extremism? And then, oh, it keeps degrading. It keeps being used as thought policing. And the fact is, like, the very simple fact of what they're trying to do is that it physically can't work. And it can't work for one simple reason. And that simple reason is a program called Signal. Now, I've talked about messaging systems before. I don't know if I've talked about them on this podcast, but the way I see it, there are 1,000 messaging platforms, and there are only 3 worth talking about. And those are WhatsApp, Signal, and Telegram. And those 3 are worth talking about, not because they're all good, but because they are the kind of stopping points on the worst, the middle, and the best. Now, WhatsApp, owned by Meta, obviously they're going to comply with every data gathering requirement that they are given because they want to use your data. As soon as your data is being scanned, Meta are going to put it into their database of everything else they have about you, which they can then run whatever analytics or AI building on that they want. By trusting Meta, and using WhatsApp, by trusting them with your messaging, you're just casually ignoring, like, the Cambridge Analytica scandal, the fact that they were sued for stealing information for their large language model, and then Donald Trump just kind of swept it under the rug. you are ignoring more than a decade of privacy violations. This is what WhatsApp does. This is what Meta does. It's their entire business model. They sell data about you, and they want as much money from your data as they can get. Then you have Telegram, which I'm not going to go into here because it's like a middle of the ground. It offers end-to-end encryption by default. I think it's proprietary encryption, so it's a bit weird. And I don't want to spend too much time on it. I want to talk about the gold standard of this stuff, which is Signal. And Signal is a messaging app which is fully open source. Anyone can build it. Anyone can audit it. It has end-to-end encryption by default. And they have very specifically said that if forced to choose between weakening Signal and leaving a market, Signal says it would leave. But what is, in this case, a market? Because Signal is a free app. And it comes out that a market is really just a distribution channel. Signal could leave the app stores. They couldn't block anyone in Europe from downloading their software because they release it themselves. You can go to their website and download their APK for Android and install it directly on your phone. You can go to their GitHub page and download an APK for Android and install it directly on your phone. Sure, they could restrict those things to EU, prevent EU people from going there, at which point any vaguely technical person in the EU is going to switch their VPN to America and download it anyway. They can't prevent nerds from making forks and mirrors and getting the source code and building their own versions, because that's how it's designed. And it's just a case of the EU trying to manage something it hasn't understood, like it so often does with technology. And the thing is, this isn't just a privacy issue, but it's a cybersecurity issue. Because if the official distribution channel disappears, people aren't going to stop using it. They're just going to find it in different ways, in less safe ways. And attackers will absolutely exploit this. We see attackers exploit every possible problem that they can. So we're absolutely going to see fake Signal APKs and malicious clones, search ads for fake download pages and fake upload prompts and phishing for registration codes. We're going to see outdated builds with known vulnerabilities and secure Signal EU edition nonsense. We're basically going to cheapen the program. And if you look at the use case for Signal, their intended use case is obviously everyone, but they cover protected people like journalists and whistleblowers and like the victims of domestic violence to have a safe means of communicating. And what, now the EU want to cheapen that by handing all of the data in these places to people like Meta? No, all that's going to happen is they're going to make these vulnerable populations less safe. Now, I would really love to just leave it there and be, okay, old man yells at cloud. But I actually want to do something productive in these. And I think I can do that by just giving you a reality. Chat control 2.0 is not happening now. Your messages are not automatically being scanned. Nothing bad is happening to you that wasn't able to happen up to April of this year. If you're using WhatsApp, question your life choices and move away from it. If you want to start using Signal, go to the App Store, download it, keep it updated, keep it installed, enable the secure backups, save the recovery key somewhere sane. If Chat Control 2.0 drops, then Signal will pull out of the European market. That I have no doubt of. That doesn't mean it becomes unavailable. It just means you have to jump through additional hoops. And the safest in this order are going to their official website and downloading the APK from them. They will even label it the danger zone. It's not a great choice, but it will be the best one if it's not available through an app store. If you are more technically inclined, you might want to grab the release from GitHub releases page. You can use Obtainium, which is like a release manager to help you keep your manually installed things updated. Signal even recommend that. So it's not the end of the world if chat control 2 drops. It's just going to mean finding ways around it. And that's not a great position to be in when the EU is just like undemocratically pushing this requirement that people keep voting against, people keep refusing, and they keep pushing. It's like they've got democracy as if it's a retry loop, that they should just wait until the favorable outcome, until they can game the arithmetic to make it more difficult to reject something that people do not want. All the advice I've given so far, actually, I'm going to say one thing. If you are downloading from either the website of Signal or from GitHub, you need to learn how to check the keys. So every build should be signed. It should have a certificate against which you can test your software. And to do that, you would want to use Android build tools. I think it's APK signer. And then there's a verify command to verify that the software you got is the software you expected to get. Signal should have the fingerprint on their website so that you can determine what text you should see. If you are using an iPhone, the path is a little bit more complicated, because while I think iPhones now do have to have alternate distribution channels, they have to be like Apple. They have to be eligible and notarized by Apple. So I also think they have to have developer participation, so it will be up to Signal to add that to the Apple Alternative Store. I don't think iPhone users are completely doomed, but they're kind of a hostage to official distribution paths. So as much as it, I mean, I don't hate to say it because I've always avoided Apple devices, but I don't want to be just saying Apple is terrible, dump them. But if privacy is a concern, you may want to consider some new approach. And I'm not saying Android by default is better. That's absolutely not the case. But you can get additional operating systems on Androids. The one I would recommend if you have a Pixel device is Graphene OS. Now, Graphene OS has like a really good security model, Android app compatibility, and no Google by default, sandboxing Google if you do choose to include it. And it's a good long-term option if you care about the integrity and privacy of your device. And it is a serious thing to do. Don't take it lightly. It's going to require hoops to jump through. The thing is, at the moment, they only support Pixel phones. Now, I do think that they recently announced a team up with Motorola. So I believe starting from 2027, there's going to be Motorola phones released with Graphene by default, which I think is excellent. I hope that those find their ways into the hands of users sooner rather than later. And we start having some security consideration for these devices that spend their lives glued to our hands and our leg. Another option if you don't have a Pixel is Lineage OS. Honestly, it's more of a band-aid than a actual solution. It's good for, like, if you don't have a Pixel phone, it has a lot more supported devices, and older devices are easier to keep alive that way. It does de-Googling without going full Graphene, and it's nice for tinkerers if you can follow the specific flashing instructions, but it's not the same hardening story as Graphene OS. It's simply not. It is better than OEM firmwares in almost every case, but it's an escape route. It's not like a bunker you can hide in like Graphene OS is. There's also another one I want to discuss, which I don't know if I should be saying yet, but Sailfish OS is like a Linux operating system that's being put on the Yola phones being built and distributed from Finland at the moment. And if you're Linux savvy, if you're a tinkerer, this might be something for you. I think they can be installed on various devices, the Sailfish OS. I don't think their Apple, sorry, the Android compatibility is guaranteed, but I think they do have a compatibility layer, so it's reasonable. The problem is, I think the first people were getting their hands on the new Sailfish devices on Wednesday. They had like a release event in Helsinki that they were handing the devices out. I don't think reviewers have got them in their hands yet. They're now going out by post. So when people get those, I hope to see some reviews on them to see if they're any good. Because if they are, I'd love to be able to suggest a Linux for phones. With that said, I don't know that I have more to say. Just, there's a lot of FUD, the fear, uncertainty, doubt being generated on LinkedIn at the moment by people looking to drive engagement. And I guess I'd ask those people to please stop. The reality really is bad enough. Can we stick to what is actually happening? We should deal with this erosion of democracy now, this chat control one now. And we should worry about chat control too when it actually happens. For everyone else, I would just say, keep an eye on this. Keep an eye on this regulation. Keep an eye on this degradation of democracy, because it's important. We need to make sure that the EU is being held up to higher standards than other large portions of the world that will remain nameless. We need to make sure that these chat control efforts don't go through, because they are invasions of privacy and they are the top of a slippery slope that is just going to degrade safety for everyone in the name of something that it won't reduce in any measurable way. And with that, I would just say thank you for joining me for this episode. I hope you found something helpful and that you will join me next time.
Thank you for listening to Patched Atlas. You can find more episodes at patchedatlas.com, on YouTube, or in your podcast app.